Welcome back to Feels Like Weezer, where we're discussing the catalog of band Weezer, all of its songs from the Blue Album to Van Halen, most recently. I believe I heard about something else coming out soon, something about Seasons. Yeah. Otherwise, I am Eric Nash from Almost Famous Minute.
And my name is Martin David Tapia. I'm a musician and amateur songwriter.
Yeah, and with us today is...
I'm Ethan Flynn. I'm also a musician and amateur songwriter. I've released some songs everywhere, you know, Spotify, iTunes, under my name, Ethan Flynn, and that's who I am.
Wonderful.
Yeah, cool. It's good to have you here, Ethan.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, and Eric, what song are we talking about today?
We are talking about the 12th track from Make Believe.
The ultimate track.
Get Away?
Well,
it's actually Haunt You. Yeah, actually Haunt You Every Day.
I don't feel the joy. I don't feel the pain. You were just a toy.
Every day. Ethan, if you don't mind, I'm kind of curious. I think you kind of requested for this song. Is that right?
Yes, I did choose this song.
So what's the thoughts behind that? Your general thoughts on the song and why that's the case? Why you wanted to come on?
Well, I want to start it with a little bit of history that I know about the song. Uh-huh. So I believe in 2005-2004, Weezer was in the studio with Rick Rubin, and Rubin told Rivers to go to the piano and write a piano-based ballad, kind of in a similar vein to Barry Manilow. And Rivers was intrigued, and Haunt You Every Day is what he came up with. And Rick Rubin said he also used this technique with other people that he had asked the same thing of for their albums. And they came out with songs in the similar kind of passionate emotion, piano, ballad, bass style. And that it always works out in the end. And I think he is absolutely right. This is one of my favorite songs. And it really captures an emotion that a lot of people say is lacking from Make Believe, but I think can be found full force in this song. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. It is a very emotional song, and it's got a lot of weight behind it with the minor chord progression that goes on. Really seems to add some gravity to the song, I feel. Yeah. I mean, not to mention the lyrical content, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially melodically, because I'm one to focus on the compositional elements of a song more. I mean, melodically, it's a very beautiful song, and beautiful Weezer is some of the Weezer that I enjoy the most. So
you're are you like me, kind of more on the Okay Human side of things versus Van Weezer, or
yeah.
I don't know if I've heard much from Martin. I don't know that Martin and I have talked too much about.
I mean, yeah, we haven't talked about this.
We've mentioned that they've come out recently, but we haven't. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to be when it comes to the Okay Human Van Weezer dichotomy. I want to be like the one to like unify the two factions. This is my goal in life. So I'm gonna be like the Neo of this Weezer 2021 Matrix.
It may be too early to say, but if I have to stick up for some of the Weezer albums that people don't usually like, I don't think it's going to be either OK Human or Van Weezer. You know, maybe some like Make Believe Red, Hurley even, you know, a lot of overlooked records.
Ratitude,
maybe the deluxe version, you know. The deluxe version has some songs that are not bad.
Yeah.
The album has some songs that are not bad. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I give Ratitude a solid, if we include the deluxe version, a solid 3 songs that have absolutely no fault. But that's pretty, it's not bad. That's not bad.
That's better than most albums.
Yeah, right.
Better
yeah.
than most.
Yeah, so I read the thing that you said about Rick Rubin talking to Rivers Cuomo. And but I read that he said to, or this is yeah. from Rivers from the, I think from the Weezerpedia, that he was trying to write a Billy Joel song originally. Like yeah. that was the impetus. He said Barry Manilow, which I think is also interesting. And I think that Rivers has said that he didn't end up really, that's like, that was the impetus to start writing the song in that way on the piano. Mm-hmm. But he didn't really end up, the end product isn't that, obviously. We can hear it. It's not really yeah. that kind of song.
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, it's you know, between the two, say, and I haven't listened to very much Billy Man or
Billy Manilow.
I've listened to a ton of Billy Joel.
Uh-huh.
but I would have to go towards this being more like Barry Manilow.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
In certain little respects.
If you have to pick one.
Heavily, but I don't think, but at least, yeah.
Mm. I may be wrong, but I remember reading Barry Manilow somewhere, maybe not Weezerpedia, but
sure.
Billy Joel too. It's kind of that piano bass theme, I guess. That was the original inspiration, and it kind of blossomed into something Rivers wanted to do.
Yeah, it did end up kind of being like a Barry Joel sort of sound.
Yeah.
All right.
Do we feel like we've each kind of given? I mean, Martin, you have a general take, you know, more than what you said? Is there anything else you want to throw in so far?
Yeah, I'm generally positive on this song. It's kind of like at the lower end for me for the entire album, but that's like I like Make Believe
still pretty
a lot.
Good,
so that's
yeah.
like yeah that's like a, it's high yeah. yeah and actually having it's definitely grown on me. I have my old rating here and yeah. I'm not gonna say what it is right now, but when we get to it later I'll mention it, and it's definitely higher in my estimation after listening to it like a lot of times over again. It gets better
yeah
as I keep listening to it.
Yeah, that was gonna be the main thing I was about ready to say too. It's not, you know, I'm pretty sure my rating will be, you know, pretty decent for it, but you know, I'm not going so low as I think you might be, but yeah, I mean, it's just yeah, it's these kinds of songs that are a little bit more, you know, it's hard. It's not really grooving because it's not grooving, but it's
yeah, it's a down tempo song yeah, for right. sure.
But yeah, I guess yeah. I mean, that's a great.
So it's not
it.
The kind of down, thing that like grabs you right away.
Yeah, down tempo like, songs kind of grab yeah. me better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so it's more my style.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, do we want to talk about anything about the lyrics? Does anybody have anything? No. I mean, you guys have both already established that you're not super lyrics people, so maybe you don't have a lot to say about it. Ethan, anything?
It's not a lyric, but it's part of the way River sings. I really love the part at the end where he kind of does the solo with his voice.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
You know, like where there should be a guitar solo, he's like doing it, and I think like it's just really cool. Let's take a look at the lyrics, though. Maybe there's something else that I could say.
Well, it's kind of what you were just saying. It's that, you know, this is so. While there isn't so much of a guitar solo, well, I mean, there is, but it's
Doesn't the guitar play along? Like,
yeah,
they
right.
double each other. Like, the vocals and the guitar.
So it's back to that, which was very heavy that we had noted, Zach and I, for the Green Album. But, you know, in this one case where, I mean, there was points where I was listening to it a few times on repeat, and then I had to get up and to do something, and I just kept going through it in my head. I mean, humming it and, you know, just going through the main melody notes, you know. It's like I couldn't get away from it. You know,
yeah, that's always a super plus, yeah, for me. It's like I'm a chump for a catchy tune, for sure. Well,
yeah.
I guess we all are. Who isn't? Yeah. Maybe some people aren't. Who knows?
A lot of people tend to criticize the songs on Green because the guitar solo mimics the melody of the vocals in the verse. But I couldn't disagree more. I love that about Green. Like, it really emphasizes the melodies in, like, simple ways that, like, the Beatles would have done on their early albums, like With the Beatles or Hard Day's Night or that kind of thing. It's in that kind of vein. I don't think they were being lazy, per se. A lot of people accuse them of being lazy.
I 100% agree. I think it's a choice, and I think it's a good choice. And I'm with you, Green guitar solo gang, Ethan.
Hey.
Exactly. Hey. All right. Cool. Yeah, I like that. And then we get that mirrored in this song, too, so that's nice. But yeah, I think that the lyrics kind of tell a little story, and I think that it's not a one-to-one, but I have like my little story in my mind that I've cooked up, and it just seems to be about. Oh, do you want to say something, Eric?
Well, I was kind of curious. Maybe you can answer some questions, like some of the oddest little phrases in it. I mean, you were just a toy is the first one that pops out at me, you know, and then like in this, that's the first verse, and the second verse. It's kind of like, when will stupid learn? It's a question mark. You know, it's a question.
I think they're interesting lyrics, and they're not. I think it's nice that they're not super literal, but it does seem to be. I have my little story about either Rivers himself or maybe a character that he's portraying. I guess we'd never know whether it's a one to one.
Well, I mean, that's definitely something. I mean, you know, again, once again, going back to Pinkerton, you know, and the problems there with the lyrics and so forth. But it's, you know, it's certainly, at least in that case, it certainly came out and came about that, you know, he was fairly much talking about his own experiences and so forth. It seemed like things were pretty surface level.
For sure. Like 100%. But then it seems like as time went on, he was more reticent because of some of the pushback that I think he got for some of the Pinkerton lyrics. More reticent to say that these things were actually about him or his experiences. Which, I mean, I guess if you're writing a song, you can always use your imagination, but it's... At some point, like a song lyric or like an idea for a song does originate with the person, right? It's got to necessarily be like a part of yourself that's coming out. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, a story or a piece of art doesn't always have to be something that you agree with 100%. But yeah, this just seems like a little story about a fellow who's leaving a lover and... you know, walking on my own, leaving you behind. You were crying out that you need to speak your mind. And then you get to the chorus, which, of course, is, oh, so alone in love. And to me, that feels like the voice of the, in my little story, the perceived lover that the main character, so to speak, of the song is leaving behind. Does that jibe with you guys? Does that make any sense? So this is the story that I've constructed in my mind, and then the next verse just kind of goes on to like kind of explain the misgivings of the main character, whether or not that be Rivers or, you know, a constructed kind of character about what he's done.
Well, now back to the chorus, though. You know, you said, so the so alone in love, that's from the other person's point of view.
That's the way that I'm reading it, but I think there are other interpretations. But what do you think?
Would you then throw in the title? I'm going, you know, with the added, I'm going to haunt you every day. Is that her saying back to him? That part still?
Also? I can read it that way, so, and I can read it
the
other way too. I can see it both ways. Or like maybe the really cool like ultimate base take is that it's both.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it does make sense because it seems like Rivers is haunted by this other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you put in the context of like this minor chord kind of progression and melody, like the heaviness of it kind of adds to that feeling, and then like the lyrics as well. Yeah, right?
Yeah. People talk a lot about how make-believe is like a watered-down Pinkerton. I don't know if you guys ever heard that, but...
I've never heard that, but I get it.
But this track does remind me of Butterfly in some aspects, where Butterfly is like really literal. This one kind of beats around the bush, but there are stuff like I'm gonna kill when I need a thrill, right? And in Butterfly, he talks about trapping a butterfly and the butterfly dying, and he's like, I'm sorry for what I did. I did what my body told me to. I didn't mean to do you harm. No, it's similar themes, you know, but tackled in different ways, different perspectives.
Huh. Yeah, I think you're kind of right. It's like the guilt of the way that you may have treated somebody else. Yeah,
exactly.
Would be the unifactor there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's all I wanted to. I just wanted to say that little story that I constructed for the lyrics, but I don't have anything else. Do you guys have anything more that you want to say on a lyrical tip?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, lyrics. Yeah, I'm pretty good on lyrics. I mean, I guess either or both of you might have kind of already said a little bit of something about the piano here, and we've been getting some more of the piano in the latter half of the album. I think it feels like the keyboards or piano. Both, which is something, again, it's something that we've come to recently have a lot more of for the main instrument, you know, for Rivers himself, especially when they did the concert from a month or so ago now, where I mean that's like, you know, pretty much the only instrument he plays, at least for the album proper that they go through that they run.
You're talking about the OK Human concert,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. There was one point when I then was listening to this. I try to often listen to this to each of the songs as we do them in some different settings, not just on my computer, you know, but also like in my car or something, or maybe through some nicer speakers besides headphones, computer headphones, and so forth. On a closer to proper stereo system sound, and you know I think it was when I was in my car, I felt like I kind of drifted off into the thinking of, you know, how close this could be, how little could change to kind of get it to the OK Human format, you know. I mean, just swap out some of the guitars, and mm-hmm. I mean they could easily be violins and
this one would definitely fit if it was with a little tweak it could easily be an OK Human track.
So I mean that was something that was really interesting in that concert, the latter half of it, that they did a few of the older songs and even one of the newer ones, Hero, in the OK Human style.
Yeah, that was a good one too. I like the, just on a tangent, I like the OK Human version of Hero better than the Van Weezer one. So I'll come down on that side. Maybe I'm failing at being the Neo of this 2021 Weezer Matrix. I've already come down on a side. Oh no. Dear.
Let me suggest to you something I did find. Was OK Human on YouTube, was OK Human songs done in the style of, say, like a Blue Album classic, you know?
Yeah, and they're very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are some good songs. Yeah. It sounds good. It sounds good with the electric guitars, too.
Yeah.
Sounds good
yeah.
either way.
Yep.
But yeah, so do you have any more, Ethan? Did you want to, you're our big melody guy here. Our big, what do you have any more to say about this? Anything to illuminate for us?
Well, Paul McCartney once said, sometimes it just comes to you. You know, he didn't learn theory or that kind of stuff in music. He just played on the guitar, and sometimes a great melody, it just speaks to you for reasons unknown. And there are songs like this where I just feel, you know, like it comes naturally. And it's like, for some reason, melodically, this song is top tier for me in Weezer's catalog. So I just have a bunch of praise for it. But
yeah, you know what?
Yeah,
I get it. I this one hits me in the feels. And you know what? It feels like Weezer, huh?
It feels like Weezer.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting. Did you too listen to "Get Away"? Did you? Are you familiar with that?
"Get Away."
Yeah, Eric.
So you
mentioned it earlier.
I teased it, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually. I haven't listened to it. I don't think I did. I know I listened to one demo, but I don't think it was, you know, that early of a demo. But
I don't think I'm familiar.
Yeah, so
it's just a demo. Yeah.
On the Weezerpedia, there is the lyrics for it. So it's definitely, you know.
So yeah, it's like an early version, and it's the same chord progression. And I think it doesn't change chords. It's just like four chords the whole song, right? Like the "Haunt You Every Day." I'm pretty sure, unless I'm misremembering. Which I could very well be, but it's the same chords and it's like a different melody in the in a kind of different lyrical content, but the melody just doesn't quite land the way that, especially the chorus for "Haunt You Every Day" is really like far superior than "Get Away."
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of an interesting to hear like a kind of proto version of that song, so that's why I brought it up. And, Eric, I thought you might know more about it since you teased it earlier, but yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about it. It's just like a slightly inferior version of this song, and then the lyrics are just kind of like about a sort of petulant, angry person. It's kind of like a weird song for Rivers, I guess.
Yeah, I'll have to take a listen to it. I mean, I will say this about the song and the album in general. A lot of people go make-believe is the point where Weezer changed or Weezer wasn't like Weezer anymore. And this song literally could not get any more Weezer. Like, what were you missing?
Yeah, and I think that even, like, you can even say from the beginning, like after the Blue album, like Pinkerton is a departure from Blue, right? And so like that's like different from like what Weezer is. It depends on like how elastic you allow your idea of what a band can sound like to be.
You're absolutely right.
So and then like Green is like different from Pinkerton, and Maladroit's different from any of the other stuff, and so on. Even all, you know, all the way down the line to Van Weezer at this point in 2021.
I'm surprised anyone was surprised at any new material after Can't Stop Partying came out. I mean,
right. Yeah. So that's, pretty much, I think all that I have to say on the song proper. Anything
same,
to add?
Same here. Ethan, yeah, anything?
If I have to say anything more, it'll just be that I cannot believe that We Are All on Drugs got a music video and this song didn't.
Okay.
I think I can agree with that, yeah. But I think, yeah. I mean, you... our last episode was
cut out.
Freak me
yeah,
out.
I didn't hear me either.
And that was that. That's my pick for like the underrated gem for this album. If
yeah,
I had
Martin,
to pick, if
out.
I only oh, am I back?
Yeah,
you're okay. Back.
Yeah. So Freak Me Out is my pick
yeah.
for the underrated gem for this album. But I do think that this is also a underrated gem. Just uh-huh. not like the top one for me. Like Freak Me Out, I think is like a that's my top shelf. This one is my second shelf.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I do love Freak Me Out, although I will say to get a little bit off topic here, I think Freak Me Out has huge underdeveloped potential. I hear a buildup as the song goes on and on and on, and it just finishes before that buildup ever comes. Do you guys hear that, or am I just going crazy? Like the song builds up towards the end and then just stops.
Yeah, this is a difficult thing to say because any song you can kind of imagine, like, what if it was better? What if it became better in the end? Like, I think I can imagine that for any song that's ever been written. So it's mm-hmm. difficult to be like, you know, to put a finger on how this one is different from any other song in that regard.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I just, I don't know. There's something about the end, like the instruments like swell up, and if you're taking another listen to it one of these days, take a listen for it, maybe you'll hear something.
Yeah, I really like the end of that song too. I can't like the outro. I think I was talking in the last episode. Okay, well, we're going backwards in time, but that's okay, we can we're allowed to go on little tangents. I think the outro is really cool, and there's like this kind of like minor chord that like gives it a sort of off kilter feeling
mm-hmm.
in the end of it that makes it that makes it like it jibes with the Freak Me Out vibe. That I said jibe I think maybe twice today. I guess that's okay, it's all right to repeat words. But here's what I suggest, Ethan. This is what I would really like you to do, and you don't have to accept this challenge, but it's on the table if you choose to accept it.
All right,
make Freak Me Out what you want it to be.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good challenge. I do have a lot of time on my hands.
Like if you have like if there's something that you feel is lacking about the song and you think it would be better, like bring that out into the world and do it in a better way.
You're absolutely right. I will consider your challenge.
Consider it hard, Ethan. Consider it as much as you feel like. Actually, I'm not telling you what to do, but yeah, okay. What's the next what's our next segment?
Eric, the left channel, right channel segment.
Oh, I love this segment. Yes. Let's play the theme song, the left channel, right channel theme.
Left channel, right channel, left channel, right channel,
and you can't hear it, Ethan, but it's like do 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 do.
Okay.
Actually, it goes nothing like that, but okay. It's like a little theme song that I wrote for this segment, and then Eric's gonna tell us what he heard in the left channel and the right channel in his headphones.
So the differences I heard were pretty much nothing on this one, actually. Yeah, which is more in keeping with the rest of the latter part of the album, I think, again. I think it was the very last one. I think Freak Me Out was the one that had the stuff going on with those harmonics. But yeah, so yeah, no differences. How much fun was that?
This has been the Left Channel, Right Channel Report with Eric Nash.
I think it was a lot of fun. This continues to be my favorite segment, and I get a little bit hyped every time we get to it. So let's play the closing theme. And here, presumably it played, unless something went horribly wrong with Zach. And Yeah, and then now we get to talk about whether or not this song was on Rocksmith. I have a pretty good idea of what the answer is going to be, but you know, let's open up the segment and have Eric talk about that.
We're going to find out.
I can't promise you this, that the next time we do a song episode,
yeah,
because this is the last song of this album, I will have some new, more up-to-date info on this. But right as of the time when I collected the information for this latter half of the album, I believe, there was no Rocksmith versions on the CDLC for it.
Well, it's sad to hear, but...
sad.
You know, we're just gonna have to accept it and move on. I don't see any other options for us. We can't, you know, wallow in the sadness of this song not being on Rocksmith forever. At some point, you know, we've gotta get past it. And you know what? I think right now is that point.
Mm-hmm. And now at last we know if this song's on Rocksmith.
Let's talk about another segment. Yeah?
Yeah.
We don't need to dwell on the sadness. Okay, covers.
There is a song, and that's a fact. Now tell me who has covered that. Who has covered that song? Who has covered that song? Let's talk about covers.
Yeah, so covers. Through my normal source, my old normal source, which has been failing me, much like Rocksmith, there were no covers of this song officially out there in the world. But via YouTube, there were a couple that I did note. A little duo band was Love Anew, as one word, LoveAnue. And two, you know, I'll say Asian young women who sang and played guitars, you know, acoustic pretty well. I mean, every now and then there was a little weirdish note hit, you know, or so forth. But it was a lot of fun, you know, to hear them give their little pretty slimmed down take on it.
Yeah, I'll second this recommendation, too. This is the first hit that comes up, I think, on YouTube if you look up Haunt You Every Day cover. I think they do mess up a few times, but it's like really in a kind of a charming way, if that's something that makes sense to our listeners. And I don't know if they are siblings, but... I suspect that they might be, because sometimes when siblings sing harmonies together, it has a certain quality that I think I may have detected there. But I could be wrong. We have no further information on this group, Love Anew.
If they're as much Weezer fans as we are, maybe, which maybe they are, because they're doing a cover song of a not single. From an album, a deep cut, in other words. So if they want to reach out, that'd be wonderful. If they happen to listen, or if anyone knows them, even. But then otherwise we have another kind of Asian thing going on here. Some characters for this. Apparently the band name is some characters, and the comment below in the YouTube said, someone defined, you know, the characters mean. Vegetable human. Comes from vegetative state.
Oh.
As being this band name in these, you know, Asian, Chinese-ish, what have you, like characters. So this performance was better than another one, which was from a more fuller band. And the other one, the vocals were so low mixed, I couldn't get through it even. Yeah, you know, I just didn't feel like even continuing. But at least this one was a good bit better. They were still a little on the lower side, but you know, it was still fun to hear a fuller band play it. You know, I think it did have someone on keys, but it had a little more raw, guitars going on, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah, and it was like pretty similar to the arrangement that we find on the album, this pretty one that you're talking about. The Love Anew one, I think, is nice because they seem to have come up with their own vocal harmony arrangement, and it's pretty sweet. I think it's nice, so I would recommend that one. But yeah, also the one that you're talking about, this vegetable person is not too bad either. But if you want to see a live version, there's like the Weezer version, which it doesn't really count as a cover, but I'm going to talk about it here in the covers segment. And this is from April 27th, 2005 at the Moore Theater in Seattle, Washington. And as far as I could tell, it's the only video evidence of them playing Haunt You Every Day live. I don't know if you guys looked up any of this, but this was all I could find for a live version from Weezer themselves. And it features Brian on keys. So that's like a cool little thing. And then there's somebody else on guitar, and I couldn't tell who. But my research suggested that it might be somebody named Bobby Schneck.
I would have loved to see Weezer play this song in 2005 when I was 3 years old. But I don't think I would remember it very well.
Maybe you would, though. Like, maybe it would have been a formative experience for you. Maybe you would be a different person if you had seen Weezer play Haunt You Every Day in 2005. Do you think it would be for the better or for the worse?
For the better, for sure. For sure. I mean, I was seeing maybe the Wiggles at that time.
Live or?
Oh, yeah, live. I was a crazy music fanatic all my life, yo.
Wow, Wiggles head. Okay.
My parents took me to everything. Oh, but, wow. It was nice. But when I grew up, you know, you start listening to the Beatles at like young age and that kind of stuff. And now I'm here and I love Weezer.
We're all here and we all love Weezer.
And we all love Weezer. And anyone who covers Weezer, especially Haunt You Every Day, is all right in my book. That's what I would say.
Yeah, this is a dope song to cover. There should be, if you're out there and you're listening and you are a musician, here's my challenge to you. Take it or leave it. Cover Haunt You Every Day.
Cover Oh Girlfriend. I love that song too.
Yeah, sure. While you're at it, why not?
I did play that song live once. So I can throw myself in there. But I don't think we recorded it.
How did it go over, though? Did the audience love it?
The audience was pretty cool. My bass player hated it because he doesn't like that song. And he was like taking a break while we played it. And he was like, "Why you play that song, man?" I was like, "Yo, I love this Weezer song, dude." But I don't know. Some people are too hard to please.
Hey, different strokes for different folks, huh? Am I right?
Yep.
All right. Well, let's close up the covers segment. How about it? I don't think we have any more to talk about in this arena of covers, the covers arena, where all covers that have ever been produced battle it out.
We talked about covers. We talked about covers. We talked about covers.
And then I think all that we've got left is our rankings, right?
Or the ratings, actually.
Oh yeah. Sorry, I'm skipping ahead to next episode.
Yeah,
because I've been excited about it this whole time.
Oh yeah, and you guys are gonna rank Make Believe songs.
Yeah, we're gonna rank them, but right now we're gonna rate them.
Rah 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 rainy.
And Eric, would you like to explain to Ethan how our rating system works?
Well, it's just a matter of right now what you want to say, what you feel, as far as, you know, 0 to 10. I think we had a question recently from one of the last guests or two. they were wondering, okay, wait, is this just for Weezer or every music, bit of music out there?
Yeah, on the scale of all songs.
I aired on the every bit of music side of things. That's for sure. It's the way I've been thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully others have too, but maybe not.
That is a good question, though.
But 0 to 10, what would you rate this song, Ethan? You want to go first?
Yeah, if you have to put a number on it. And guess what? You do have to put a number on it.
We will beat it out of you. Say no.
In other years, I would have been a lot more generous to many Weezer songs. However, today, I only pick and choose a few that I think are perfect. And this is one of them. 10 out of 10 for me.
All right. Wow.
I love it. Mwah. Chef's kiss from me. Great rating. I'm going to throw it to you. I'm going to want to go last. So
sure.
You go next, Eric.
Because I want it to fall. above and below certain other songs.
You're playing an averages game. Is this what you're telling me?
Okay. Right, yeah.
Oh, drum roll.
I'm going to have to give it a 9.1.
Yeah.
9.1. 9.1. 9.1 isn't bad for a supposedly low score. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Mine's actually probably going to be a little lower. And by probably, I mean definitely. But I just want to say, Eric, real quick, chef's kiss to your rating as well.
Yeah.
Just because my rating is not the same as your rating doesn't mean that your rating isn't so good. And I love it. And I love you. But my rating is going to be different. And when I started listening to this album, when we started recording the episodes to go back over them, I wrote down all my ratings and I wrote a 7. Which seems like super low to me right now. Like having listened to the album like over and over again and like having this song particularly, this song might have like risen higher than all of the other songs. Like all of the other songs I thought were good before, but this one kind of bugged me at first. And then the more I listened to it, the more I'm like, oh, this is a pretty good song. Mm-hmm. So that having been said, my rating's going to be
8.75.
Yep.
You want to hear the average?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I love averages. Maybe we should start a new segment where we talk about the average or like where we calculate the average after we rank. Okay, but yeah, let's hear it.
So the average for Haunt You Every Day among us three is 9.283 with the 3 repeating.
Yeah, I love repeating threes.
Pretty good.
There is no right, there is no wrong. It's just how we feel about a song. And when we feel like we feel about a song, ratings.
At the end, we like to shout ourselves out, particularly our guests. Do you have do you want to talk about like where people can find your music, Ethan? Or anything else that you got going on that you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's see. Music is my main thing. So I've been releasing songs since 2017. Yes, 2017. And I have a new album coming out in next month, June 11th, called The Pumpkin Club. 12 brand new songs.
That's my stepdad's birthday.
Really?
Yep. So I know what I'm getting my stepdad. Pumpkin songs. The Pumpkin Club? What's it called?
Yeah, the Pumpkin Club.
Yeah. Okay, the Pumpkin Club. Got it. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go on.
if you hear any similarities on this album between me and Weezer, they were totally not intentional, maybe a little intentional. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, you can search up me basically anywhere on the internet and you'll find me. Not that Ethan P. Flynn guy though. That's someone else.
Yeah, not Errol Flynn. That's someone else as well.
Yeah.
It's like an old-timey movie star.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, that is pretty much what I do and where you can find me.
All right. You heard it here, listeners. Check out Ethan Flynn. The Pumpkin Club is the upcoming album, June 11th. Or if you listen to this after June 11th, which I think you probably necessarily will because it won't come out until way after that. So yeah, it will be available. Check it out.
And if you do, thank you.
And if you don't, thank you for listening. We love you.
We love you anyways.
All right. And usually I make Eric say his stuff first, but I'm going to go now. And I'm just going to say that I make music too. Check me out. Bandcamp.com/MartinDavidTapia. MartinDavidTapia.
Yeah, all right. Thank you both so much. Yeah, definitely Ethan. Yeah, and Martin, wonderful. We're just having such fun here. Keep going on and on until the end. And sometimes back.
Until the end of our lives.
With, yeah, right. River's life will end, and then ours will, like, 5 years later.
Well, dude, we'll see. I don't know how long you plan to live, Eric, but I might be holding on by a thread. I'm not sure. Rivers might live longer and write way more songs than we're ever able to cover. We'll see.
Yeah. So this has been wonderful. So my socials or so forth, things you can find me at. I had my first podcast, Watchmen Minute, a long time ago now, in the movies by minute genre. And then more recently, Almost Famous Minute is still coming out. Just got a few more months left here, so find those at moviesbyminutes.com, of course. And we and Almost Famous Minute, Feels Like Weezer and Almost Famous Minute, are on the Pantheon Podcast Network. You can find a whole bunch of shows, music related shows, podcasts there at pantheonpodcast.com. And a huge thanks to Harman Audio for their supplied AKG microphone and headphone set that you are listening to me and maybe Barton someday.
I keep my fingers crossed every day, but I'm gonna shout them out and hope that someday I get my Harman Audio microphone and you will hear the dulcet tones of my voice in even greater fidelity than you're hearing now. So check it out. This is my shout out, Harman Audio.
And then also definitely check out this show on Facebook at facebook.com/feelslikeweezer. And we have our little group there, too, that you should try to get into at the Feels Like Weezer Listener Society. Please come and see and ask to join, you know. We should let you right in. Shouldn't be hard because we'd like more people to come and talk with us.
Yeah,
Jeff's a good guy, but come on, more people, please. this has been Eric Nash for Feels Like Weezer, and you've also heard Martin and Ethan.
Yeah, that's me. Ethan, it sounded like you were going to say something earlier. Yeah. Were you going to? Did you have another?
Is there one last thing you want to mention?
I just didn't catch your band camp. I want to follow you.
Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's just my name.
What? How do you spell your last name?
T as in turtle.
Yeah.
A as in apricot. P as in pineapple. I as in iodine. And A as in astrophysicist.
Awesome. Now anyone who wasn't clear knows.
Yeah. And check me out. Check me out on all the Bandcamps. You can look at bandcamp.com/bitchinseahorse. You can check out bandcamp.com/theyifs. You can check out, I can't think of any other ones, but I feel like I have more music out there. Anyway.
Martin David Tapia?
You got it.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I mean, check me out. Well, I'll check you out too. Well, Music 69.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.